Kiko's gonna give you, what Brev is gonna give you, what Ben is gonna give you, what all three are gonna give you. The Big D. Kiko's gonna give you, what Brev is gonna give you, what Ben is gonna give you, what all three are gonna give you. The Big D. Kiko, Rev, and Ben, yep, they're at it again. Breaking down the team, putting stats up in your head. Nothing left unsaid, they're leaving it all on the field. Just like the favorite team, raising two cups and we'll chill. The knowledge isn't real for a trio so true. To representing the great red, white, and blue. And you love them too, that you can't deny. So just one time, let me hear Dallas till I die. Chico's gonna give you, what Rev is gonna give you, what Ben is gonna give you, what all three are gonna give you. The Big gonna give you, what Rev is gonna give you, what Ben is gonna give you, what all three are gonna give you. The Big D.
Soccer podcast,
Hey, welcome to Big D After Dark. So glad you can join us this evening to talk about FC Dallas, FC Dallas news and results, and we have plenty to talk about. Of course, a draw at home against San Jose, which dims, perhaps, FC Dallas's playoff chances, but maybe that hope is still alive. The good news is Ricardo Pepi is in form. He's scoring for the team, and he's scoring now for the United States men's national team. What a rise for the youngster. We have a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of fun to have, and we want to take your questions and comments live. Welcome to Big D After Dark. And there we are. We are live. Welcome to Big D After Dark. Thanks for joining us, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. We're here to break down and talk about the latest FC Dallas news and notes and results. And we have plenty to talk about this week, especially because of one Ricardo Pepi. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And, of course, you can use the comment section on YouTube or Facebook and share with us a question or a comment you have about the team, and it will shape our show, and we'll be grateful for those comments. My name is Nathan Hill. I'm the host here at Nathan J. Hill on Twitter. There in the middle with the Skype logo is our buddy Ben Lyon at Bird Turgler. Say hello, Ben.
Hello, Ben.
And there in the end is Jose Carmona at El Chico Carmona. Don't want to get ahead of myself there. Good to see you, Jose.
Bienvenidos.
All right. We have a lot to talk about. Let's just get let's just note what's been all over Twitter today a little bit, which is, and I'm splashing it up on the video feed for those watching on video, that 5 years ago was the U.S. Open Cup win for FC Dallas, an incredible achievement, a game which I was there for, an incredible performance from Mauro Diaz, and really a solid roster all around. Oscar Pereja, head coach, deserved this, and really worthy of celebration. Just some good faces to see, good memories. Kellen Acosta was still with the team back then. Oh, how time flies. A great moment, a historic moment for the club, but it would be nice to have another one of those moments in the next couple of seasons, wouldn't it, guys? Wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
Anything sticks out from that from that memory 5 years ago of the Open Cup championship, Ben? Anything for you?
That was the year that we were going to win everything. Even though Fabian Castillo ran off to Turkey, it was still all there to play for. And then it just unraveled at the end of the year when Mauro Diaz, the greatest number 10 in FC Dallas history, got hurt. And that really, like, that was the beginning of the end of the Oscar Pereja era. So a lot happened in that in that month. But that was exciting.
Yeah, and you know, it was quite the night, you know, all the fans were going nuts. I mean, it was everything about that night was just electric, and you know it was nice to be on top of the world for change, and Shield was in sight, you know, the CONCACAF group qualification was in sight, and everything was looking great, and we didn't know that was going to be, you know, the peak of the mountain that year.
Yeah, you know, FC Dallas won the Supporter Shield that year as well. Great roster, really solid roster, a lot of veterans, a lot of good leadership. But yeah, you remember back when Mauro was fouled and was done. That was it, and really, playoff run was not to be. Gosh, but what a magical night! And they were, I remember because they went down a goal, and yet the way the team was playing and even the energy in the crowd, there was no doubt that the team was going to come roaring back, and they did. It was a fun game to be at, fun memory. But let's go to the present, because that's a nice contrast to begin our conversation tonight. As we talk about the game on Saturday, FC Dallas got a good week off. Well, at least most of the team did. Some players were working for their countries, representing their countries. But the team had an opportunity to rest, and so they came out at home against San Jose, a really vital match, and unfortunately came away with a 1-1 draw, went down early off of just a penalty kick mistake that I still think is a little controversial. I think it was a bit harsh, but I want to hear from you guys about that in a minute. And then we're able to get at least draw level behind a Ricardo Pepi goal. I mean, generated a lot of opportunities and just couldn't put them away. A really difficult match, because if this team is going to make the playoffs, they need to win at home. So let's just start with reactions from the match. Jose, we'll start with you. I mean, was this a gut punch for you, or is it just, hey, this has been the season for FC Dallas?
It wasn't a gut punch. It was a disappointment for sure. You know, we can argue the first goal we want, but the bottom line is the team equalized and had plenty of time to find the game winner, and they couldn't do it. And you know, I'm not as bummed out as a lot of people are. You know, we're only four points out of the playoff spot, and the way you got to look at it is they're in a pack, and none of the teams ahead of Dallas impresses. Even if you're not impressed with FC Dallas, you're not impressed by any of the teams ahead of them or behind them. And in all honesty, it's just a quagmire. And the team that climbs out of that is could still do it with a short run, you know. And Dallas has 5 home games left, so they have to figure out a way to get some points on this next road matches they got coming up. They have to find a goal, a tie here, a tie there. You know, what you got 3 road games in a row. I could live with 3 points, and if they can get 3 points out of that or more, that'd be great, because it's not that's gonna get anybody excited about them making the playoffs, but I don't have any faith that any team ahead of them is gonna pull away. So that's the only thing that's keeping me from going, oh man, what a bummer, because in all honesty, we're not the only fan base saying that about our team. All the fan bases of the teams ahead of us and behind us are saying the same thing. They're like, man, what does this team have to do to secure a playoff spot? So that's what gives me confidence. It's you know, I'm a NFL fan like a lot of people here, and it's like being in a weak conference. You know, I'm not saying the West is weak, but I'm saying after the top 4 teams, everybody else is in the same boat. There's nothing separating any of those teams. And Dallas gets to play a lot of those teams. They get to play Houston. They get to play LAFC at home. They get to play Minnesota, San Jose. I'm just saying, all these teams that are ahead of them or around them, they play Vancouver. So FC Dallas will have a say on whether they get into playoffs or not. And I'm not writing them off yet.
All right. Ben, what are your reactions to the draw at home against San Jose? I think we're getting
It was a bummer.
But it felt like we were getting some static here. We're getting some interference in the feed. But no, okay, that was Ben.
Yeah, they had so many good chances to score that game. You know, I mean, again, credit to Marcinkowski for making a couple of really, really clutch good stops. But you know, discredit to O'Brien and Paxton for shooting the ball right at Marcinkowski on three separate occasions. Both of those guys have not finished well this year, and you know, that's a difference maker right there. You know, I complain about Hara all the time. You know, he's not, unlike O'Brien, he's got something to offer. He's got speed. His decision making and his shooting have not matched his talent. He needs to have that happen this week. Paxton too. Paxton, you need to score a goal this week. All the guys that are not finishing well in the front four, they need to figure that out quickly. Or let Shun figure it out. He hadn't finished all that well either.
It hasn't been his strength, though. Finishing hasn't been his strength. It's been getting the assists and I think that's the attack just has to get going. And let's face it, you know, the defense plays well and they do a hiccup here, a hiccup there, and allow a goal here and a goal there. And that's kind of frustrating too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with Shun though, you know, like he was a pretty good finisher in Hungary.
Hasn't come yet.
I want to say he had 8 goals for MTK before he came to FC Dallas this spring. Like he could finish, he could shoot for sure. He just hadn't found it yet.
I still feel like for him it's just getting that first one over the line and then the rest will follow, but yeah. His assists have been great. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just talk about the opening, that San Jose goal, which was a penalty awarded off of an apparent handball. It was Hedges dove in to clear the ball, and the ball hit his hand. I mean, I still look at that, and I just say, gosh, that's so harsh. I don't know. I mean, Hedges was using his hand to sort of catch himself on the grass. I don't know where the hand is supposed to be at that point. But I don't know. They reviewed it. I just feel like that's a harsh call against a defender there. Granted, in San Jose's defense then, it was a terrible playing out of the back kind of situation that led to the mistake. And Hedges had to scramble. People were scrambling. And so those are the situations which lead to penalties for this team over and over again when the team puts itself, kind of does its own damage. Did you guys disagree with the penalty call at all, or am I on my own out here?
I mean, I didn't really, because you know, Hedges like basically dove in front of the ball, and you know, it didn't matter how you sacrifice your body there. You know, I mean, like he can dive in with his arm tucked and hurt his shoulder, or he could just like not dive at all to get in front of that ball. So. You know, that's probably what he should have done, and take your chances with Felipe there. But, you know, is what it is.
Yeah, I thought it was a 50-50 call myself that could have gone either way, but Dallas doesn't get those calls. So, yeah. I mean, you tell me the last time that they got a call. I mean, at home, you know, that's what I mean. You know, you go to other, you go to other stadiums, they get those calls at home. You don't really see that from Dallas. You don't really see them getting those calls going their way. And it just, we're just used to it, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where it's like expected. It's like, oh man, that's, they're not gonna overturn that, you know. It's a little disappointing, but again, it happened early enough and they equalized. So to me, I'm more disappointed that they couldn't find that game winner down the stretch.
Well, let's listen to Lucci, head coach Lucci Gonzalez's comments post the game, just kind of his, just about his perspective on the match, kind of what FC Dallas can pull from, and we'll see. I mean, are we feeling Lucci's vibe here?
I thought we initiated the game well. I thought we pushed the game. We were very clear of our intentions to get pressure on them, to play forward, to get the block up and push the game. Yeah, unfortunately, in a little moment of not aware, you know, they score on a PK. So that's not how we want to start. That's not it's not in the plan. But I liked our response in terms of just keep playing. And I thought we created good chances before the half. For me personally, I was very, actually calm. I knew we were going to tie the game. I knew for a fact we were going to tie the game, just based on the way we initiated the game and based on the week that we had. Going further than that, that was that next step. We fell short of that. So, you know, overall we have to be disappointed to leave 2 points on the table with a direct rival that we need to go over, that we need to go over them. And, you know, that's that extra that we're still trying to find, because I thought we played with heart. I thought we showed a response after being down. I thought we showed a commitment of the group. 90 minutes. I mean, you saw physically, mentally, they left everything on the field. So, and you know, San Jose is a tough team as well. They commit everything, and it becomes a lot of duels, a little, you know, small-sided, small group, small number moments. So, you know, I want to grab the positives. Let's keep those ingredients. The shifting was good. We were stepping with our lines. I thought we were good playing in forward combinations, interior, exterior, exterior, interior, to break their lines, to get forward. I think you saw the possession, but it's 1-1. So we need to do more. We need to do more. And but I know if we show the intentions that we showed tonight, points will bounce your way, home or away.
Points will bounce our way, home or away. I mean, there was a lot to like about this performance. FC Dallas didn't slouch, didn't give up after that early goal. They fought and were really unlikely not to get the draw, get the equalizer much earlier in the match. I know Lucci needs to stay positive, and there were some positives to draw from this game, but it just seems like over and over again this team is falling short in some key moments here and there, right? And that has been what has mattered this season. And we may look back at this season and say, man, points here or there, we'd be talking about a different level for this team, you know, a different set of runs or whatever.
Yeah, it just seems like you know, this team is missing a little bit of luck. You know, they've played some games where they've just been unlucky to get a draw, or unlucky to pull a win from a draw. And, you know, it just shows you that there's something missing. You know, they seem to be missing a catalyst. You know, sure, you got you hope that Pepe is that player, you hope that Chuy's that player. The thing is it's not that simple. You know, they're missing something. There's a key ingredient missing that could tie it all up, and you know, you hope one of the younger players, you hope like a Paxton or Shun or something like that, steps up and they find that, you know, that player that can pull something out of nothing, which I don't know. You know, you see other teams have that player when it's a draw. You know who's going to score for them, and you can't say that for Dallas. I mean, sure, you got Pepe as your we all know he's going to score, but somebody else has to also step up and be there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We can't put our finger on it, and I think everyone's a little frustrated because you see those flashes of brilliance that this young squad puts out there, and then you also see the in one game you can also see everything that's wrong with this team. Mm-hmm. So every match is like a roller coaster ride, you know, with its ups and downs, and more often than not we wind up somewhere down the middle.
Yeah, all right, well,
how many draws is that this year now?
10.
Ten.
No, eight. Never mind.
I was gonna say 10 sounded pretty high, but it feels like it's 10. I mean, it feels like every time we need a win, we get a draw. I mean, so let's bring on some more road draws, I guess.
Yeah, road draws.
I think the time for road draws is over. Which, on a brighter note, I think that means that they'll play a more open style over the course of the next couple of months. That could be really exciting. And maybe that's just the kind of nudge that somebody like Schoen or O'Brien or Paxton needs to, you know, find their finishing touch.
Well, so does that mean Lucci's got to take some chances here with his lineups, or maybe not the lineup, but maybe be just more aggressive, less reactive and more proactive?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, he's going to have to, you know, put his team into a more tactically aggressive posture, I would say, you know, especially early in games. And, it could certainly blow up in his face. I will say, you know, one thing that's going for them going into their match with NYCFC is the game is in Harrison instead of at Yankee Stadium, so they're playing on a normal field
it's almost like a neutral site, really, you know.
Yeah, and that weird small postage stamp field, they don't have to, you know, be as boxed in playing on that, like that neutralizes some advantages you get with O'Brien playing and some of the younger guys.
And I think, you know, NYCFC is built to play on that smaller field too. So I think this is I'm thinking positive. I'm thinking I'm like Ben says, I'm happy they're not playing in Yankee Stadium, and hopefully this gives FC Dallas a shot at pulling something out of there. I mean, 3 points would be great, you know, and in all honesty would revive my faith in the team, but, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see them go out there and be aggressive and not play defensively for 90 minutes and hope to get out of there with a 0-0 draw.
Well, I think you nailed it there, Jose, because, like, I think right now FC Dallas is a team that it's hard to pinpoint that one thing that if this thing went right, boom, like, in some ways it's a positive because, like, think of last year and their finishing and their attack and the final third really let them down. But the defense was solid, you know, and you sort of could say, well, if that final third kicks in. Well, you know, final third has kicked in this year, finally. You know, you get the right personnel in the field, including one Ricardo Pepe, who we'll talk about in a moment. You know, he's scoring. He's scoring confidently. And Jesus Ferreira is good. Schoen is good. You know, we're still figuring out the other piece. Is it Paxton there? Is it O'Brien? How can we get consistent play? But then our defense is letting us down with just mistakes and just, you know, and it's and I like that Hedges and Martinez got the start this past weekend. But then, boom, there's just that mistake again. And it's not like simply to say, like, oh, Hedges just needs to be better or Martinez needs to be better. Like, it's just like the ball bounces weird. And you know, there are mistakes, sure, but there's also, it's just like, how do you fix that as a coach? How do you just keep going and saying, we got to be sharper, we got to be better? You know, like, you know, is it the personality? You know, the midfield can be better, yes. Is it the right mix? It's just a lot. Injuries have been a challenge. It's just been a lot of stuff. So I feel like, are we at the point where, like, this is what the team is going to look like? Or yeah, maybe it's just that right configuration of players that we're still trying to get that's going to carry us forward. You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's that easy of an answer. And maybe we'll find out this week. Let's hold the – we'll talk about that at the end. But let me ask this question. Jose, you kind of answered it earlier. Are we losing hope about the playoffs? Are you still hopeful that this team can make the playoffs, or are you pretty resigned to that this is probably not going to be a playoff season?
And like I said, I've said it earlier, and this next three road matches they've got coming are very important. I say if Dallas can stay within 6 points of the playoff spot, heading into that home stretch, then I would be happy with that. You know, I think they need to be within 6 points of the playoffs, as they, because think about it, 5 of their last 7 matches are at home. That's a stretch you want. That's a stretch where you want to be within striking distance, because that's what you make your run. The fact that they got another draw at home dampens that, but you know, it's what I'm hanging my hat on. It's this team, if they can just hang in there, get a point on a road here, a point on a road there, I think they'll be fine. I think just get home and no more, you know, hiccups at home. Take care of business, because let's face it, those home matches, those 5 home matches are against other playoff pretenders. So you gotta show that you're a contender then, because if you can't. And I would say any more draws at home from the last 5 home games, and yeah, I'll have to start hanging my head a little. But at this moment, I still think they can do it.
Ben?
I mean, everybody in front of them has a game in hand. So that's bad, obviously. 538 has them at about a 9% chance to make the playoffs. I think that's a little low. But I also don't think that they're like have a 1 in 5 chance. I mean, the draws on the road aren't going to do it. They got to get 3 points every match. They got to be fighting for 3 points. You know, a draw, it's not going to cut it at this point. Not with, you know, like I say, everybody has a game in hand. Minnesota has 2 games in hand. You know, like they got to start making up for lost time, and it's got to start this week.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ben. I feel like my hope is dimming. It doesn't mean there's not a lot to play for in this season, and there's not a lot that guys can do and this team can do to answer some questions about even next season. And they certainly should continue to fight until it is absolutely no chance, you know, but yeah, I mean, this week is going to be crucial. If they can get some points, as many as they can on the road, it will certainly help and give them a fighting chance. But it's
getting
tough.
They got to win one of the games this week.
Yeah.
At least one of the games.
4 points. You got to get 4 points at least. That 2-point-per-game average, at least aim for that. I mean, a lot can happen, and the teams ahead of them could just have injury issues, could just, you know, it's life. And our buddy Hoach there is finally joining. He said he had to unload the groceries, so good. We're just talking about playoff hopes. Well, let's shift over to some really positive stuff then. Last week we talked about Pepe. We talked about the United States men's national team at Greg Berhalter making the peculiar choice in their 2 opening draws of this World Cup qualifying campaign to not play Pepe at all, to not start him, to not play him even as a sub. And I think the theory then was proposed that, you know, you play Pepe and he wins. And guess what happens? In Honduras, a tough place to play, Pepe starts. First half wasn't so good. I think Berhalter kind of, yeah, drank some of his own Kool-Aid a bit there.
I prefer the term sniffing his own farts.
Okay. That's a, good. And then guess what happens? Ricardo Pepi. 18-year-old phenom from FC Dallas. El Paso native. Legend in the making. Assists 2 goals. Scores 1 goal. And the United States just blows out Honduras 4-1. An incredibly fun match to watch, especially that second half. And just to be delighted as an FC Dallas fan to be thankful to be alive to see Ricardo Pepi play the beautiful game. Berhalter, we told you so, right? I mean, this kid is so good. What's your reactions to that game, to Pepe's huge first start for the national team?
It's nice to see the U.S. embrace the play the kids or play the kid mantra, and hopefully we don't have to remind him again in October that, hey, you got Pepe, you know. So, yeah, it was nice. And again, it's another occasion where all the social media people have been yelling at him to do something, and he finally does it, and it just proves that we are right and he's wrong all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you just listen to the fans, we can run the team better than he can.
Well, you do get woozy when you sniff your own farts all the time.
But, you know, it was still good to see Pepe deliver. Part of me isn't happy because it means he's closer out the door, you know, and people can talk about how much he's going to go for. It doesn't matter because no matter what price tag it is, we have very little hope that the Hunts will actually put that back into the roster. So... Right. I mean, I don't know.
That's your cynicism there. All right,
their answer is going to be to simply promote Hara to the starter. That's
well. But let's not pull the fire alarm yet. Let's not go there. Let's stay in the positive state. But our buddy Hoach there says players usually break out in the comfort of a home game, not at an away match like that. Craziness. Let's go, Ricardo. And that's a good point. I mean, to get your first start, your first minutes, really, on the senior team level, in an away match, in a very hostile environment, and then to be able to perform, it just speaks so much to this kid's poise and his confidence. And
you know what, though? I think we all remember being 18 and invincible. Sure. And I think that's where he's at right now. His confidence is through the roof. Combine that with youthful, you know, exuberance, and it's just the right recipe at the right time. This kid, he believes in himself, and, you know, he goes out there and plays fearless, you know. Even in the first half when the U.S. wasn't looking all that good, he was the only guy high-pressing out there,
yeah.
You know, which was, you know, you were like, okay, is he doing like a single-man high-press? What's going on here? That's just his energy level was through the roof. So, you know, I think maybe any if there was some nervous energy or nervousness, I think that was out of system after the first half, and then we saw the final product in the second half. And, I mean, yeah, this kid delivers, and any team that plays needs to ride that train as far as it'll take us.
Is he the new number one? Is he done enough to say, like, man, the next game he's got to start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, assuming he's still in good form, you know, it's like only like 3 weeks until the next window. And, you know, a good thing is that Dallas is not going to miss him through absence again. So, you know, Dallas is off during the next international break, which will give them a great time to regroup if, you know, you know, they can win a few games here in the next couple weeks. But yeah, I would say he's clearly the top striker going into the next break, you know, unless his form tails off dramatically.
And even if he is not the top striker for some reason, he's still currently the hot hand, you know, and you got to play the hot hand. You either play your best striker or the hot hand. And at this point, we believe Pepe is both of those. So if you don't agree with one, you got to agree with the other. And either way, he should be one of the two starting strikers for that team. Or if they go three up top, he should definitely be one of those three.
The question I have, and I'm wrestling with, and our buddy Hoach asked it too in the chat, what kind of mentioned his value is high. Bayern is interested, evidently. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of teams interested. The winter transfer window now is the next possibility. Yeah, I've heard a little chatter that, hey, FC Dallas will try to keep him at least for another year. He'll get vital minutes. He'll continue to grow, and he's in a good place. There's a lot to be there. And that could be a strong argument to be made of, like, hey, unless, like, a really spectacular offer comes in, Pepe, stick with us another year. Let's fight for success, for championships here with FC Dallas. Your value is only going to go up, you know, or at the very least, it's going to stay kind of in where it is. But, I mean, like, if an evaluation comes in, you know, that's off the charts. I mean, my gut is that whatever price comes in for Pepe, it's got to break the MLS record. I mean, I think it's got to before you consider it. It's got to beat Alphonso Davies.
I don't know about that simply because the Hunts like to put that they want to keep a percentage. And if it doesn't surpass the record, it's because of that. It's because, you know, they're going to want to keep 30%, 40%. Very likely they have to settle for something around 25%, you know. So if anything's going to put a damper on that, it's going to be that. But I have a question for you guys. Would you rather see Pepe leave this winter or wait till this next summer? Because if he leaves this winter, at least you know he's gone and you can prepare for the next season. But if he stays and goes in the summer, you're basically going to have your starting star striker basically leave you mid-season. So that's the one thing we got to start worrying about is, could the Hunts basically try to hold on to him in the hopes that he'll bring in more come summer? But again, then there you go again, is you're going to basically cut off our legs next year. So,
I mean, he's going for the record fee, you know, and until they hit that, I mean, there's no reason.
I mean, and shouldn't the Hunts draw a line there and say, hey, this is the record fee, start there or don't bother calling us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, for one thing, that helps you buy Hara out, you know, that last year, right? Gone, just walk away from it.
That's part of the fee. That's like, okay, record fee and Frank O'Hara. Okay.
Right.
But our buddy Hoach says there, if I'm Ricardo, I'm wanting firsthand knowledge about how they plan to build a roster to challenge for the Cup next season. If it smells, then I'm going to Europe. I mean, that's a factor to consider too. How is a team going to reinforce itself, put pieces around Ricardo to succeed, to make it worthwhile to spend another season growing, learning, and having fun.
The problem with that argument is that he just signed a contract extension, so he couldn't do that. He couldn't say, oh, you know, if I don't like it, I'm leaving for Europe, because he already agreed to stay on.
Right. He Harry Kane'd himself.
Yes. So that's not really an option for him. His best bet is to basically, hopefully he has, you know, a say as to where he goes, you know, because, you right. know, right. what if the team that matches what the Hunts want is from Russia or Turkey, you know, is that where he wants to go? I mean, you know, hopefully he has some say as to where he goes. And maybe if he does move this winter, it's because he says, no, I don't want to play for any of those teams. I'm willing to wait till the summer or next, you know, somebody, a bigger name ponies up. I think that's my concern is that he goes to a non Champions League, non Euro League team. You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean to me he's like the obvious replacement for Lewandowski at this point. And there's just like a lot of similarities in their game. And I think Lewandowski's contract runs out in 2023, so you know, seen him play.
You would hope that they're thinking, hey, let's bring him in and have him be mentored by Lewandowski, you know, have him groomed to be that guy. That's whoever brings him hopefully will do that, but there's also a possibility that someone's going to say, hey, if we're paying that much for this kid, he's being brought in to be the guy.
Sure.
So.
It's a good question, isn't it? And we wish we could kind of see. I mean,
I will say this one last thing. I Ricardo strikes me as, you know, like a loyal guy. And, you know, signing that contract this summer, it's a big help to his family. It's going to engender a lot of goodwill between him and the club, which he already loves the club already. So, you know, I don't see him, like, trying to force his way out at all, you know.
There'll be a lot of those variables at work here. And, of course, it's not out of the question that, like, Bayern comes and says, yeah, we're going to buy him. We're going to pay your price. I mean, I forgot. Alphonso Davies went for how much? I thought it was...
I thought it was 16.
Yeah, around that mid, not quite 20 mil. And so, hey, you come out and you say, look, we'll give you 25 for Pepe. With a sell-on clause, kind of a thing, but we'll loan you back for the rest of the season, you know, kind of a thing. I could see that potentially working. He's getting minutes, you know. He's in form. Let him go, you know. Let him continue to run with the team. That would be really a win-win for FC Dallas, but we'll see. You know, there's just a lot of scenarios, and it depends on injuries. Our buddy Hoach says that he wants him at Stuttgart because they're down to two strikers due to injury.
I'd love to see him go to the Bundesliga for sure, even whether it's Bayern or not. You know, I definitely would love to see him go there, yes.
Seems like a good place for him to land. All right, well, that's just speculation, but... I mean, just seeing him perform at that level, it is amazing. But you're right, Jose. It's just like FC Dallas fans are also like, well, he's the next one that's going to be on his way. And meanwhile, you know, Dante Sealy, I think, got on the score sheet this past weekend, and the team could have used him.
Game winner. Scored the game winner.
For... Yeah. Could have probably used him. I mean, injuries are hurting the team, but which doesn't bode super well for – next season if we're going to pass on some more exciting guys. But hey, you know, this is life with FC Dallas. I think we've got to accept this is where we are. Hey, let's shift over now. Let's close out the show. Just a huge week again. We've already talked about it. NYCFC, I should say, on Tuesday at the New York Red Bulls Stadium in Harrison, New Jersey. I was going to try to go up there. It's just a short train ride for me, but 3 hours train ride. But
I was gonna say more like NYCRB.
Yeah, okay. but it's not gonna work out for me. And then again this weekend against Houston at Houston. So two big away matches, both teams that you can get points from. Although NYCFC is a solid team, much more talented than but lost this most recent weekend. We got to find a way to 4 points, right? You know, can the team get it done? What are you looking for as signs that this team is going to get big results this weekend on short rest? Or this week on short rest on a packed week.
Just keep riding the Pepe train, man. I mean, I think as long as he's hot, if he can score on the road, we've got a shot. And that's what I'm going to keep watching, you know, watching him and Chuy hopefully both keep their form going. And hopefully they get some help from Shun or Pax or somebody else, you know, to take the pressure off those two. But I think as long as those guys are still in form and Pepe scores, we got a shot, and I that's what I want to see. I want to see the train keep rolling, and let's ride that train hopefully all the way to the playoffs.
Ben, what do you think?
Just want to bring up like another little tidbit from the NYCFC game that kind of is a positive. Their leading scorer, Tadi Castellanos, out on yellow card suspension tomorrow. Okay. So that's a nice little win right there. You know, the team just scores so much better whenever Jara doesn't start. I mean, it's ridiculous. you know, I mean, 20. I'm just like taking a quick look at this because I haven't looked at it in a while. Let's see, 27 goals in the 15 matches he hasn't started. That's almost two per game. I mean, you know, that's elite production in the league. And, you know, that looks like that's going to continue for the indeterminate future. So right. I'm pumped about that. Everybody should be pumped about that because it's not just Pepe scoring. He makes his teammates look better.
Mm. I think Ben is not Dallas till I die. I think he's Dallas till Jara starts.
Well,
I still support the team. I just won't watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is tough. I mean, Jara scored a goal, but yet, you know, hey. Well, yeah, I'm with you. And our buddy Hoach there says we need points in Houston more. Add, you know, Copa Tejas. I'm happy with the 0-0 draw. I mean, or a 1-1 draw in NYC in New York or New Jersey, I guess. Get a goal early, scrap away a goal, and then like let Pepe rest a little bit. It's been a long week for him. I know he's young, but you don't want to ride him too hard. Rest.
No, we need the 3 points.
I agree, but then you rest him for that Houston 3 points. You got to go for the 3 points against Houston.
He's 18.
Okay.
That's right.
And that may be true, you know, but I think it's going to be a tough match on Tuesday, tomorrow night, but hopefully the team can get at least a point. If they're going to get a point at one of the two matches, I feel like NYCFC is more likely because of the travel and everything, and then you get 3 points against Houston after a little longer time to rest up. But
do not have the luxury of picking and choosing at this point.
Right. I mean, 6 points would be amazing.
That's gone after this weekend.
6 points would get them back in the thick of things, I think. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, you bet.
Jose, you know, North Texas. Let's shift over to North Texas real quick. Not a great weekend for them.
It's been a terrible week for them. I mean, they just got the road loss. Before that, they had to settle for a draw at home. It's not at all what I envisioned for the team. I think they're currently eighth place. It doesn't get any easier as in their next home match, they host Union Omaha, who tend to find a way to get a draw against North Texas almost every time they play. So this match is probably a must win if there ever has been one. You know, they need to defeat Union Omaha in North Texas. And it's just their attack has basically disappeared on them. It's faltered, you know. And, of course, they lost to Chattanooga again on a last-second goal, which is, I think that's like, they've scored a last-second goal every match they've played. So it's like 4 matches now. And you know it's coming. And it literally was at the death. So, just this was a chance for them to go on a run. They were on an 8-match unbeaten streak, and now they're in a 2-match losing streak with Union Omaha coming to town. So they need to right the ship, and they need to right it this weekend, because their window for they basically were sitting in a good spot where they could challenge for the third spot, and they've missed that window now, and now they're challenging just to get into playoffs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they can right the ship with a win at against Union Omaha at home, and they need to make that happen.
Well, thanks. We'll leave it here tonight with that. Ben and Jose, you're great. Always great to hang out and talk FC Dallas soccer. Of course, remember, everybody, follow us at BigDSoccer.com. And you can write your own perspectives and comments there. That's a little feature called Fan Shots. You can fill in and write your own perspectives and commentary. We'd love to hear your voice. And it's going to be a full week of FC Dallas action, so join us. Hang out with us. Let's have a good time together and hope for this team to push hard for the playoffs. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night.